So they spoke. I, in soft words, made answer. Let us now first of all draw up our ship upon the land, and store within the caves our goods and all our gear. Then hasten, all of you, to follow me, and see your comrades in the magic house of Circe, drinking and eating, holding constant cheer. So I spoke, and my words they quickly heeded. Eurylochus alone tried to hold back my comrades, and speaking in winged words he said, "Poor fools, where are we going? Why are you so in love with ill that you will go to Circe's hall and let her turn us all to swine and wolves and lions, that we may then keep watch at her great house perforce? Such deeds the Cyclops did when to his lair our comrades came, and with them went this reckless man Odysseus, for through his folly those men also perished." As thus he spoke, I hesitated in my heart whether to draw my keen-edged blade from my stout thigh and by a blow bring down his head into the dust, near as he was by tie of marriage. But with soft words my comrades stayed me, each in his separate wise. "High-born Odysseus, we will leave him, if you like, here by the ship to guard the ship, but lead us to the magic house of Circe." Saying this, they passed up from the ship and from the sea. Yet did Eurylochus not tarry by the hollow ship. He followed, for he feared my stern rebuke. But in the meanwhile, to my other comrades at the palace, Circe had given a pleasant bath, anointed them with oil, and put upon them fleecy coats and tunics. Merrily feasting in her halls, we found them all. When the men saw and recognized each other, they wept aloud, and the house rang around, and standing by my side, the heavenly goddess said, "High-born son of Laertes, ready Odysseus, let not this swelling grief rise further now. I myself know what hardships you have borne upon the swarming sea, and how fierce men harassed you on the land. Come then, eat food, drink wine, until you find once more that spirit in the breast which once was yours when you first left your native land of rugged Ithaca. Now, worn and spiritless, your thoughts still dwell upon your weary wandering. This many a day your heart has not been glad, for sorely have you suffered." So she spoke, and our high hearts assented. Here then, day after day, for a full year, we sat and feasted on abundant meat and pleasant wine. But when the year was gone, and the round of the seasons rolled, as the months waned and the long days were done, then, calling me aside, my trusty comrade said, "Ah, sir, consider now your native land, if you are destined ever to be saved and reach your stately house and native land.